Hello, it's Richard Lannan. We're back on the air, and you're listening to The Spar, where we seek to accelerate the growth of business champions. But there's a change coming, a change to the name of the show. Yep, coming up in the near future, we're going to call the show Set for Success, still with a focus on being a business champion, being set for success in your business. Now, my guest today is John Hindle, and you can check him out at johnhindle.com. It's spelled H-I-N-D-L-E, johnhindle.com. Interesting thing about John. John is an entrepreneur, highly successful entrepreneur, heavy into sports. I think baseball's been very, very good to him. I've been wanting to say that all of my career. Into bridge, and also he's a prolific author and a heart attack survivor. So we're going to have a whole conversation today about what it means to be a champion in your business and be successful in the long term. But first, the business champion thoughts. We all take a journey in our business, our relationships, and our lives. The things about that journey is that we never truly know where we're going to end up. Some are fortunate that life is their dream, and others, life is a dream. These are not the same thing. Oh yeah, we all create goals and objectives, the things we want to achieve, the places we want to go. But in the end, we are where we are. For some of us, we end up in a career that we love, a time when everybody we work with feel like we're visiting old friends, and we get to do exactly what we want to do. For others, we work, we live, and we work. But maybe, just maybe, there's a space, a place between the lines, one where the business is enjoyable, our friends and family are lovable, and we're blessed at what we have and what we do. That is a good place to be. It could be a place where we end up at some point in time, and where we best have what we have, and we need to enjoy what we have. That is an interesting success perspective. You know, speaking of those kind of things, where exactly is the space or place that you are at this point in time in your business? Interesting question to ask as a business champion. With me today in the studio and speaking at this point in time is John Hindle. John, welcome to the show.
Hey, thanks for having me, Richard.
You know what? I've been looking forward to this all week since you agreed to actually come in and hang out with me. There's just so many different things I think we can actually talk about. But first, John, I'm really interested in your career history and your business history, as I know that the baseball has been very, very good to you.
That's good. And you like saying that one. That's a good one. I like saying it too. You know, Richard, I graduated university and then at a Ryerson in Toronto, I became a public health inspector. I was inspecting restaurants for food safety and so on. I didn't know I was going to get involved in business. And a couple of things happened that all of a sudden I realized there's an opportunity for me to change what I do and to be in business. And I was able to grab those opportunities when they happened, and it took my life in a totally different direction, and I've enjoyed every bit of the ride.
Every bit of it. But how do you go from safety inspector to, now was it baseball first or the sporting goods store?
It was. I was just visiting a friend in California, and I ran across this baseball, which was just such a high caliber. I was a ball player. I knew this was high caliber product. And they weren't selling it in Canada. Okay. And when I asked if I could sell it, I could take some home to Winnipeg, they said, well, if you take that many balls, we'll give you the rights to sell them across the country.
Oh, right on.
And I went, okay, where am I going to come up with that money that they needed for that first shipment? Because I didn't have that money. But I had the passion and I believed in what I was doing. And I knew I had to take that opportunity. So I did. I figured out how to get the money. And that started my business, which turned into Home Run Sports.
Home Run Sports. What a great name. Now, when did you leave Home Run Sports?
It was after I left the Gold Eyes. I went back to Home Run Sports.
Okay.
And then I guess they liked it better when I wasn't there full time because I had been at the Gold Eyes at the same time. And then So I sold it shortly after that, a year or so after that.
Yeah. Now, you're a prolific author. I understand you've written several books. And one of the books that you caught my eye was Jackrabbits in the Outfield. And I believe that book is basically about your journey with the Gold Eyes. Is that correct?
It is. I don't think of it as a baseball book.
Okay.
I think of it as a life book. Like, here's a guy who's essentially living his dream.
Yes.
Like, maybe my dream was to play professional baseball, but pretty close second was to be the GM of a pro baseball team.
Yes.
And I lived it from morning till night, and I loved it. I loved the challenge. I loved how every day was could be very different than the last day. And I wrote that story from all different aspects, from the inside view of what it is like to be in professional sports and to be doing a job that you absolutely love to do.
Absolutely love to do, yeah. And I think that's why I sort of opened up with the idea that with a business champion, I mean, some people get to live their dream and other people just live a dream. You got to live your dream, which is a very different thing altogether, right? When it comes down to pro baseball, from a running, I guess just from a running a business perspective, because I need to tie back into that. What would be one of the lessons that you learned in terms of running a baseball team?
You know, Richard, it's not a lot different than how you want to run your life, quite frankly. We made decisions at the Goldeyes to treat our customers like they were very special. Well, doesn't everybody do that in business? And it just blew me away that people would come to me and say, wow, well, other places don't treat us like that. And I thought, well, that's their problem, not our problem, because all we're doing is treating you like I'd want to be treated, like I believe. I mean, obviously, without the customers, you don't have a business.
No.
So, of course, they're a critical component, and we treated them that way. And I actually think we kind of changed the whole customer service outlook in some ways in sports marketing. In this part of the world anyways, and I feel good about that.
You know, it's funny you'd say that because it's an interesting exercise that you could do in your business where you can just ask people that, have you ever gone to a restaurant before? So tell me, you've had the best waiter in the world or waitress in the world. Tell me how they've treated you. They usually make a list of things. Now tell me, you've had the worst one in the world. Tell them, give me a list of those things. Then I just basically say, do the first list.
Right? It sounds simple, doesn't it?
I know, because most of us can actually outline exactly how it is we want to be treated as a customer. We're going to take a short break. I'm speaking today as Richard Lannon for The Spar, and I'm speaking today with John Hindle. And John is the former general manager of the Goldeyes and also a prolific author and many other things as an entrepreneur. So we're going to just take a short break, and we'll be right back. Hi, it's Richard Lannon for The Spar, where we seek to accelerate the growth of business champions. And my guest today is the contact hitter, John Hindle. Now, John Hindle was the former general manager of the Goldeyes. And just before our break, we were talking about the importance of customer service, like treating everybody special within your organization. John, I'm a bit curious about that a little bit further, because during the break, we were talking a bit about business and entrepreneurship and everything. And it's great that you introduced the idea of treating every customer special in order to grow your business. But where did that really get its roots from?
Well, I don't know. It just came because I believed in things like that.
Yes.
And I really had trouble understanding why everybody wouldn't believe in that. Everybody knows what it's like to be a customer and what they appreciate.
Sure.
So at the Goldeyes, of course, you have to be new and fun and energetic and come up with some great ideas. And we loved ideas.
Sure.
But there was always a question. How would that idea impact our customer? And if the answer to that question was in a positive way, this idea took serious consideration. And you can sometimes figure out cost and other things that are initially you might be hesitant about if it met the goal that we were trying to set, which is a fabulous, event for our customer. And as long as that was part of this idea, it got very serious consideration. And I think that philosophy served the Goldeyes very well, which is why when you came there, you always felt special.
Yeah. And I can say even for myself and my family, we've been to a number of games. And you know what? Not to sound sort of cliche, but take me out to the ball game, which everybody says, right? I'll even start singing on the show. But I can actually say that if I was to use that song as the root of a customer experience, I've had that experience at attending a Goldeyes game, where it's been about the people I've been around, about the enjoyment, the moment, and just really enjoying the whole experience. So bravo on you. Now, you mentioned earlier, though, about this baseball thing. Like, you're in California, you got some baseballs, and you decided to get like the Canadian rights for them and then start to sell them. But like, where did that really take root? Like, where did you start off with that?
Well, when I came home, I had to figure out, what am I going to do with 100 dozen baseballs?
Oh, wow.
I didn't need anywhere near 100 dozen baseballs, but in order to leave that warehouse, that's the order I had to sign. And I was able to figure it out by targeting the market that, now in my case, to begin with, it was very simple. Mm-hmm. The baseball market was all connected with certain associations. And if I connected to them, I would connect to the customer. And anytime you can narrow down your marketing focus directly to who you think is your customer, you're in good shape. Because
right,
if you've got a product, you can cost effectively reach your market, as long as you know what your market is. So whenever I coach somebody in a new business, I try to get them to figure out who is your market. Because until you figure that out, you can't actually figure out how to get to them.
Yeah, how to sell to them.
Yeah.
And I think that's called unique gathering places. That's the UGPs of the world. I think that's what you're referring to. Do you use that?
Sounds good to me. I don't use that phrase, but you, by all means, go for it. Because it's not that I invented anything new in how to run a business, but it was those key things that made Home Run Sports go. Because let's face it, I'm running a baseball business in Canada.
Yes.
This is not normal. It's going against the grain. People actually just didn't really take me seriously for some time. Well, I think they take Home Run Sports seriously now because it is a significant player in the sporting goods industry, and it all started by becoming the absolute expert in this country in baseball.
In baseball, the expert. Yeah, and especially, I guess, with baseball itself, when we think of baseball in Canada, we probably think more, because we're in the center of the country, we probably think more east. You know, Quebec and Ontario, and then the United States from there.
Well, I think BC thinks west.
There's west.
Lots of baseball in BC. There is, unbelievably, there is lots of baseball across the country.
Yeah.
And it's not a huge market, obviously, compared to the hockey market or other markets. But when you get a significant portion of a small market, it's still a big amount.
Yeah.
And if you just got a tiny wee portion of the hockey market, say, well, that doesn't necessarily mean it's better.
When you start your company, and I'm sure lots of entrepreneurs maybe started the same way. I'm curious. You got a thousand dozen baseballs?
100 dozen to start. They fit in my garage, no problem.
Fit in your garage. Okay, so you start in the garage.
And then I made a few phone calls, and then I actually got a separate phone line because I had to have a fax that, you know, these things, when I think back to the beginning now, I mean, Richard, there was no internet back then.
Yeah.
I don't want to date myself too much, but there was no internet. It was a passion for me now that I found quality product, because I was a pretty good ball player. I couldn't buy decent product in Canada.
Yeah.
You couldn't buy the Rawlings Heart of the Hide glove. You couldn't buy these diamond baseballs, that's for sure. And I was excited to bring them to the market.
That makes a lot of sense. It's really great when we get to actually follow our passions. And the fact that you've lined two things up, not only the starting of a sports company, I guess you refer to it as, it sells baseballs, but then also taking that further and having the opportunity to run a baseball team. I was noticing in some of your literature, your books, I can't remember where I read, you did a little bit of a comparison between baseball in Canada and baseball in the United States, because I think you spent maybe a year or so with an American team.
I did. And of course, they think baseball is an American game. Like, they actually, many Americans aren't even sure we play up in Canada. Now, obviously, they must know the Blue Jays, but the fact that's why this guy said to me, well, you can have the rights to the whole country, because quite frankly, to him, that wasn't really giving away very much.
Yeah, it's a small place. We all know it's a big place. We just got room.
Well, yeah. So if you're from Southern California, you don't think giving people the right to sell your product in Canada, you got anything to lose, because you weren't going to sell to that market anyways.
Yeah.
Now, it all changed, of course, when I got connected with the Goldeyes. That was a local market, and it was all about taking care of business here with the connections that I'd built up over many years in basically my life and in the baseball community. That was a strong link between the Goldeyes and the community And, yeah. And I think it helped us.
At a whole. You know what? We're going to take a short break. Now, John, this is absolutely fascinating because to actually bring business and sports together in one, I think, is unbelievable. We're talking to John Hindle, presently called the contact hitter, and you can check John out at johnhindle.com. And when we come back, we're going to talk to John a bit about the thing that I mentioned the first part of the show where we talked about being a heart attack survivor and health in terms of business and taking care of yourself. This is Richard Lannan, and we'll be right back. Hello, it's Richard Lannan for The Spar, where we seek to accelerate the growth of business champions. And there's a change a-coming, and this is the case, the change of a name for our show. We're going to go to Set for Success in the near future, and we'll still be about finding winning approaches to help you set and achieve your business goals. But like most businesses, we have challenges. There are peaks, there are valleys, and there are detours to the road of our success. You know, on that road, you might find yourself sometimes stuck, maybe even losing focus and needing to reestablish direction. I guess what we find when we talk to business leaders is that they all have a common theme that we must work together, unravel complex issues, make better business decisions, and establish a common direction. Isn't that what being set for success is all about, inspiring to be successful or being a business champion in your business? That is to take a structured approach to engage your people and to transform your business to greater success. When we return, we'll continue our conversation with John Hindle about his experiences being a business champion and a successful entrepreneur, author, and heart attack survivor. We'll also do the 1-2-3 business champion knockout tips, the things that you must do in your business to be successful. This is Richard Lannan, and we'll be right back. Hi, it's Richard Lannan, and you're listening to The Spar, where we seek to accelerate the growth of business champions soon to be set for success. That's going to be the new name to the show. Today, our guest is John Hindle, the contact hitter, and we were talking about baseball, well, sports business overall, and the goal-eyes and his experience as general manager, and we were also talking about his experience as being an entrepreneur and bringing excellent equipment to Canada in the way of baseballs and in building a national corporation organization. But I think at this point in time, we're going to shift gears a little bit. We're going to talk about life transition, the things that happen in our lives that change our lives. You know, the peaks, the valleys that we have, and the detours. Now, John, last summer, I understand that you had a bit of a challenge and you experienced a heart attack. Can you tell us a little bit about that?
Well, it came out of nowhere. I wasn't actually in any major risk category. I could eat a little better. I could have worked out a little more. I could have been a little healthier, I guess. But I wasn't in any category that would warn you. And then all of a sudden, I was out at the lake and bang, this hit the moment my life changed. I had a massive heart attack. And if I hadn't been out there with one of my lifetime buddies, I probably wouldn't be talking to you today. And as it was, there was damage done to my heart, and it's been a long rehab, and I feel stronger now, so much stronger than a few months ago, that I just kind of feel lucky to be here. And it does change your perspective a little in that you want to enjoy every moment, and I try to do that.
So you're trying to do that a lot more now. Now, when you went through your heart attack and everything, I know that there are some details that you sometimes speak of and everything. Could you maybe share with our listeners some of the details around that heart attack?
Well, it happened right off. Well, I say it happened at the lake. And because we got in the car and started driving towards the Kenora Hospital, I guess as it turns out, I didn't have time to wait for that ambulance to come 45 minutes out to my cottage and then back. The damage that was being done was significant. Now, I've learned so much about heart attacks, it's not even funny. One of the things is unless you're allergic, you're supposed to chew 2 baby aspirin or a full aspirin if you're having a heart attack because that thins your blood and it helps your heart because you have a blockage to your heart. Mm. And I didn't know that. Should I have known that? Maybe. I actually see ads on TV now, but when it happened to me last summer, I didn't know that.
Yeah, and you know, that's an interesting point about that, because I don't know that either. And I tell you why I'm so fascinated about what happened to you, okay? And, mm-hmm. and not only that I've actually become your friend over the last while, but I'm one of those men who were out of shape in their 40s, got back into shape, but I have high cholesterol. So no matter what I do, I always have the potential threat of a potential heart attack in my future. And I think a lot of men, and potentially women too, I understand it's on the rise and for the opposite sex too. Yeah. But just knowing the things that you could do, like through this experience, you now know a few other things that you might have been able to do that maybe help prevent it or maybe help your chances a lot better not to have such a severe heart attack. Is that a good statement to make?
I think that's fair. I mean, I used to wake up and think, gee, I wonder if I'm going to work out or have some exercise today. Now I wake up and go, when am I going to have my exercise? Because I know I need to stay cardio fit.
Yes.
And they tell you, for anybody, you need to have 150 minutes of full cardio exercise every week.
Yes.
I'm going for way more than that. Because I had a big heart attack and I don't want to have another one. I survived this one, you know, with a little luck and a little help, and I don't want to have another one. I don't want to take that type of risk. So anything I can do to prevent it, I've got lots to live. I've got lots of stuff to contribute still, and I want to be here to do it. So I'm going to take care of those things that I used to think, yeah, I'll get around to it, and everybody knows that you shouldn't. Well, you shouldn't
maybe
smoke,
someday
you shouldn't,
soon,
whatever. But yeah. But does that mean people stop? No, but maybe I can help them recognize, because I, as you know, Richard, I'm a speaker. I'm a professional speaker, so I can talk about this now, and I have all these tips on how to not get a heart attack.
Yeah, yeah, and I think it's important that you share that. I am curious. The other thing, you've had a prolific career. I mean, just an incredible career, from being in the safety world to the sports world, and owning a general manager to a sports team, owning a sporting company. So let me just get it right. But still, you know, you've advanced and grown your career. Looking back in your life, if you could look back at 40 or 45, what would you might do differently that could steer you away from today potentially having a heart attack, or maybe for somebody else anyway?
Well, you have to reel in the stress. Mm-hmm. There were times in my life that the stress, now my job was stressful, but there are still things you can do that you take a break. And, you know, with the world now, with us being glued to our phones, which are really our computers, there is no break from the work. I think you have to find a break.
Find that space.
Because your body needs you to just chill out at some point or other. So, yes, I know when you're in business, when I had this store, it was, even though I wasn't there 24 hours a day, if that store was open, I still felt worried about it or concerned about it or somehow connected to it. And you have to be able to find those times when you can just back off and enjoy something else that you've maybe always enjoyed in your life and haven't taken the time to do lately. Maybe you need to take the time to do, because stress is going to catch up to you.
Yeah.
And that is the one thing in my life that I think, okay, I wasn't in a huge risk category now, but there were times in my life that I had a lot of stress.
A lot of stress. And maybe managing the stress is the tip on this one there, and especially when you're in that point in your life where you're still building your career and building your business, or, you know, those key areas. Because I did sort of put it in, you know, in your 40s, because I think in your 40s is a big transitional period. And if you're an entrepreneur, a business owner, or you're right in the middle of your career, I mean, these are things we need to think about, is how do we take care of ourselves?
Well, even past 40, Richard, I mean, I was invincible in my mind.
Yes.
Until last July.
Oh.
And then I realized, not only am I not invincible, but I am incredibly fragile, that it could have just in a split second been over. Yeah. So I think taking care of yourself, like, don't wait till you have a heart attack. Like, for goodness sakes, just trust me what I'm saying. You need to take care of yourself now and prevent that from happening
in the future. It's Richard Lannan. You're listening to The Spar, and all about creating business champions, and too soon to be set for success for creating business champions. Just need to throw that in there. We're going to take a short break, and we're going to come back with John, and we're going to talk about the business champion tips, the 1, 2, 3, the things you must do in your business to be successful. I suspect we'll also talk a little bit more about his writing. I know that John has been quite a prolific writer also. So it's Richard Lannan, and we'll be right back. Hello, it's Richard Lanner for The Spar, where we seek to accelerate the growth of business champions. And yeah, I've been saying this all along, soon to be set for success. Yeah, set for success in your business. Please do tune in for that when we do set that all off. Now, my guest today is John Hindle, and John is the contact hitter and presently a professional speaker and a prolific writer. And however, he's had an incredible business entrepreneurship career over a lifetime. Now, John, I want to talk a bit about business champion tips. And you and I have been joking around a little bit during the breaks and everything. And I thought, you know, what are the one, two, three, the business champion tips that you would say to somebody that would create a knockout, a home run for them and their business?
There's lots of good baseball sayings, isn't there?
I know. I can add them in for you, man.
Well, Richard, I call myself, you said, the contact hitter. I had to pay a coach a lot of money to come up with that. So I like using it. But I guess if I had three tips for people, it would be to care about your customer, whoever you're going to be providing a sales or service to, that you care about them because that is the cornerstone of your business. But then you got to care about your staff as well. So that's another connection that's critical. Yes, there are, you know, obviously everybody has to pay their employees if they work for them, but you can care about them in a much deeper way. And I can tell you that every success I've had in any of my business, it's been because there was a team of people that were all on the same page moving forward. So that, to me, is a critical component. And the third one is that maybe you got to take the odd risk sometimes. It's not always black and white. And when I coach people, they have all kinds of these ideas. I love the energy and the excitement of a new entrepreneur, but they have all these different ideas, and some of them don't make sense from a business perspective, yeah. And other ones do, and you have to figure out which is which, and sometimes it's a leap of faith that you believe in this can work, and you get through that initial stage, which is always a challenge.
I mean, those are two really great things. Care about your customer, care about your staff, and be willing to take risk. Do you have anything further you can say about caring about your customer? I know you covered it off earlier in the show. What additional thoughts you might have on
that? Well, it's just that that's where your focus is.
Yeah.
So whatever you're doing, you think, how is this going to work for the customer? And if it does work for the customer, and, well, that automatically means it's probably working for the business as well. But I did things for the customers that I would provide them with a product that I was actually generating revenue for my business, but it was almost like I was doing them a favor because it was such a good deal for them as well. Now, that didn't happen at the beginning. I had to wait till I was established, and then some of these companies would come to me and say, well, we're trying to get rid of this product. And if it was a great product that I believed in, I could now sell it to my customer cheaper in some cases than I had bought it for the first time, but it's still a good product for them. And most people, like I know there are some people that want the absolute latest and newest, but not everybody. Some people would be very happy to have last year's model at a really good price. And if it's a good product, why not?
That sounds like me. I think you just identified me. That's me. You know, I have a friend of mine who built an incredibly successful sunglass business. And I'm very fortunate over the years. I've always gotten free sunglasses. But he looks at me and goes, you're not my demographic. Right?
And of course.
Yeah. And he gets it that, you know, yeah, I get them for free.
Well, you know? Hey, he's done his homework. He knows what his demographic is, and that's important.
Yeah, and I think that's probably what you're talking about in terms of your customer, too. I mean, if it has to be shiny new ball, so to speak, that's one thing. If it can be last year's model, and that's okay too.
Hey, you know? I can remember selling $400-$500 baseball bats to a slow pitch player that played casually just once in a while, and the difference between the $500 bat and the $100 bat wasn't that significant. But that's what they needed to have. And of course, that's what I sold them.
That's what you sold them. Makes a lot of sense. One of my clients I've worked with, they have a saying that's good for the customer, good for the system, good for the company. And now I carry that with me. I think it's probably one of the best statements I've ever heard any organization make. I know we've talked a little bit about customer care already and staff care and risk and be willing to take risks. I'm curious as to what you're up to these days. I mean, I know you call yourself the contact hitter. I know you're a speaker, a prolific writer. What are some of your present projects that you have on the go?
Well, I just recently became involved with an event called Mo Mondays or Motivational Mondays. And I'm helping coordinate that and run some of those now. And it's such a wonderful thing for the city. Well, there are in many cities across the country. But it's you come out and it's economical and you listen to some speakers and some music and you leave feeling really good. It's just a wonderful thing to be a part of, and I'm involved with Stephanie Staples in that, and I'm just very pleased to be a part of it. And you know, the first time I did it, it really reminded me of that opening day at the Gold Eyes when the fans would come in and the excitement and the energy and the 20 things that you have to deal with all at once. But I love that type of energy, and I feel now strong enough that I can get back and do that sort of thing. So I'm enjoying that, and I'm still writing. You know, Richard, I didn't know I was going to write. So after I sold the business, I started writing. I had this story that I felt I had to tell, and I just realized how much I enjoyed writing. So I'm back to doing that now. I've written some about the heart attack and how it's changed my life, and I'm trying to create that speech that I can give to people to maybe help other people. So all in all, life's pretty good.
Yeah, and you're also, I know that you've wrote a book called Making Contact, How to Connect with People, Team Building, Leadership, Create a Positive Environment, Customer Service, Sales. So that's your business book. So one's your business book, and the heart attack one's your personal book. Would that be okay to say?
That's undecided. I'd like to give it to the health community. I'd like to talk from a perspective, either from a patient's perspective and what they saw, or how to take care of yourself. We talked about stress and the other factors that lead to heart attacks. I'd like to just share that information because I do know that we all mostly know that sort of thing. But when you have this incredible, powerful story where I walked into the hospital or was wheeled into the hospital and this very sweet doctor said, John, I'm going to help you, but I need to know if you want me to use extraordinary measures to keep you alive. I went, wow. How bad is this? You know, like it's a big wake up call.
It is a big wake up call. You know, I think in itself, the value for other people, just knowing the decisions that you've made, obviously extraordinary measures were yes. In this case, you are sitting here. You know, just looking at your whole life and then looking at the types of stories that you share and how people can use them for their business or their lives to be successful. It's because it's not just about your business. It's about your business, it's about your life, and it's about your relationship.
Absolutely.
And with that, you're listening to Richard Lannan for The Spar, to be set for success. And my business champion today is John Hindle. You can check John out at johnhindle.com. We're going to take a short break, and we'll be right back. Hi, it's Richard Lannan for The Spar, where we seek to accelerate the growth of business champions. Our guest today has been John Hindle. You know, John, fantastic story, unbelievable things that you just told us about your life and about your business and your personal health. You know, if there was one message that you could leave for our listeners, what would that be?
Well, I guess, Richard, I will go back to taking care of yourself and taking care of the other close people around you. Because I can assure you, when you're lying in that hospital bed and you don't know if there's going to be a tomorrow, that's what you're thinking about. And it was people from all aspects of my life, including for sure in my businesses, that these people were close to me. They were part of my life, as business is, because it's a big part of you when you're in it. So I just think taking care of people is the key, and that, of course, taking care of yourself is the key component to that.
And that one, yeah. I guess through taking care of yourself, you can also take care of other people, right?
Absolutely.
This is Richard Lannan, just preparing to sign off for The Spar, the Business Champion Tips and Business Champion Chat with John Hindle today. So you've been listening to The Spar, where we seek to accelerate the growth of business champions. My guest today has been John Hindle, and you can check John's stuff out at johnhindle.com. His last name is spelled HINDLE.com. He's the contact hitter, and thank you for listening to the show, and you make it a great day.